So the flu, huh?
Yeah, how's that?
It's awful. Yeah.
You don't have it. Right?
I do not.
Not yet.
So for like a 14-day period.
Somebody in your house has had the flu.
Either somebody was sick or there was a snowstorm or
oh,
something.
That's right.
Yeah.
So like
something was coming out of holes
that was
not supposed
to. Older children were not both in daycare for 2 straight weeks.
Gross.
2 straight weeks, I don't have both of them in daycare while we're having a newborn.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, I love my kids and all.
Sure.
But
it's a lot.
You got to get out of this
like
house.
That only goes so far.
Like they got to get out of this house. Yeah. Like they got
to
go.
Sometimes you love them enough to send
let them
away.
Go. Yes. Yeah. If you love
thing.
It, let it go.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. Hope we do not, you listeners don't have the flu.
Yeah.
It's going around every day.
It is. And a nasty norovirus, from what I hear, which you do not want details on, because
no.
I've been cursed with some of those a couple
times.
Yeah,
I've had a norovirus.
Yeah. By the way, anybody out there that wants to like ask for prayers, pastors do not need all the details in order to pray for you. You can just say, I'm not feeling well. We will pray for you. Don't need to know all the other stuff.
God
wants throwing that
like
out
some
there.
Trauma.
God wants the deets about prayer. Okay, what you know? What does
God knows the deets.
God doesn't want an God, unspoken.
God does not need me to know
we.
The deets.
Well, anyway, this is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
All right. Anything we need to catch up on? It's been a while since
yeah,
the three of
I
us
know.
Were in the studio.
It's true. Like 2.5 months or something like that.
Yeah,
it's been
yes.
crazy. Let's see. Christmas happened. Did everybody have a good Christmas?
I'll tell you something about Christmas. This is our first. So my oldest is autistic, so he's not
yeah.
super into Christmas. He doesn't
sure.
really get it. So this is my first like kid Christmas because
oh,
my
yeah,
youngest
yeah.
Is, or my middle is two.
Yeah, your youngest is like 2 weeks at that
right.
point.
Yeah, my middle is two. And so he's excited about Christmas. He knows Christmas has something to do with Santa.
Love it.
And he knows Santa says ho, ho, ho.
Okay.
Right.
And so he's put that in his little brain together
uh-huh.
to say everything about Christmas is ho, ho.
Okay.
So our Christmas tree is a ho, ho tree.
I love it.
The Christmas lights are ho, ho lights. The stockings are ho, ho socks.
Ho, ho socks.
So, I mean, he's like,
that's really
everything Christmassy, that's
yeah.
a ho ho.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it is.
That's cute.
It's very
that's
cute.
Yeah. Hold on to that for as long as you can.
I think this is it. I think we're not going to get it's not going to come back around next Christmas. I think he's going to be more cognizantly aware that it's
when you just see it, you just say, you know, Timmy, do you see, or sorry, James, do you see the ho ho lights, right?
Yeah,
and then he's like, yeah,
keep
a
it going. Yeah.
Just,
it's a ho ho tree.
You just got
to
push it.
I had to pronounce caterpillar wrong for years because I was so invested
aww.
In Gray continuing to say it incorrectly.
How did she say it?
Calipitter.
Calipitter.
I loved it.
That's true. So I do love when they say words weird and wrong
yeah.
like
yeah.
that. And then you're supposed to teach them not to, but it's
but
also
come
so
on. Yeah.
And she would be like
yeah.
filled with a blind rage if you tried to tell her that it was the other way. She'd be like, Calipitter! So it's very fun.
It is a little odd when my son in public says, ho-ho tree. You know?
Sure.
They don't get the context.
Right.
Yeah. They're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Can talk about.
Yeah, why is that person wearing ho-ho lights, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
you want
right.
to know. That's like, what?
And his Santa hat is his ho-ho.
Oh, yep. I got my ho. Daddy, where's my ho-ho?
Right.
Yep. Again, it's cute.
Context.
In context.
Right.
In
out of context.
Yeah, daddy, where's my ho-ho means two very different things in very different places.
It does. Yep. Yeah. We'll just leave that where it is. So, okay, good Christmas. How about everybody's New Year? Let's just run through. What do we got?
I don't right. know. I
do you do a resolution? Do you do a thing?
No.
Oh, I'm not anti-New Year's resolution,
yeah, we've talked about this
but
on
it
the
feels
podcast
a little
before.
Bit too much like jumping on the bandwagon to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I have to like commit
to
something and I don't want to
yeah,
do that.
No.
I don't, yeah, okay. What else did we have? Martin Luther King Day. That was a thing that happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
And then simultaneously with that, there was an inauguration.
Less great.
That also happened.
There certainly was.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah.
We'll get to
I went to Egypt
it.
For a while.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
Anybody else do anything?
Okay, one upper.
I'm
he's like,
looking for all the stuff
anything?
That I'm just getting all the stuff
I went
up
to
there.
Egypt.
Had a baby.
That's a great
okay,
thing.
That's
yeah,
a
good for
one.
You.
Yeah, I didn't do either.
You
of
often
those.
Travel and do things. Like you easily could have done something.
I easily could have. Did not.
Okay.
But
that sounds like a you problem.
That's all right.
My
let's...
father-in-law died
oh,
for geez. Christmas. So that was kind of the thing.
Okay.
It's going to be a rough pivot, but here
right.
we go.
Our news story.
Let's go into our news story. Yes.
Do you know what the news story is? You're very excited.
No, but I feel like it's going to be.
He's had this like stored up for the
yeah,
last time.
I got a few that I found. This is one I like here. All right. Have you ever wrestled with your faith?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, not like WWE style, but like you know.
Well, this church is taking it quite literally.
Okay. I love it.
UK church mixes sermons with wrestling so more people show up.
You know, we've had lots of very interesting choices from the European church recently. There was like the Swifty Mass, and
yes.
Now we've got WWE. This is, you know, I like the concept of trying new things.
St. Peter's Church in Shipley, Bradford, which I guess is in England.
It's not actually, related to the donuts.
Probably not, but it's probably pronounced like Shipleyshire, Bradford, Worcestershire. That's probably how you actually say it. Because
it's also English, though.
Yeah, but they're weird.
Pronounced.
Shipleyshire.
Yeah, it was the best of shires, it was the worst of shires.
Yes. Yes.
Worcestershire.
So having monthly wrestling matches, turning their sanctuary into a wrestling ring in hopes of reversing the country's declining church attendance.
Mm-hmm. Is wrestling going to do that?
Apparently.
Is that the thing?
Yeah. Probably not. I mean, but look, hey, you know. Shoot your shot, right?
Do you smell the bread of Christ?
Yes. Do you smell what
right.
the
Spirit
what
the rock is, cooking.
Is cooking.
What
the Spirit is cooking? The rock of Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
Who is that? There was that one wrestler who had the like Austin 3, was it Steve Austin? Had Austin 316?
No, Steve, and he's Stone like, Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yes. I know a
you
few
know a
wrestlers.
Lot about wrestling.
I know more than I should, honestly.
This is embarrassing.
I'm going to be honest. In high school, I watched WWE.
Okay.
I mean, it was like a thing that like,
sure.
you know, young, you know, boys
you don't really have to defend
it.
Yeah, it's okay.
But he's going to anyway.
No, yes. Have you seen the thing about how wrestling is like the straight drag brunch?
I mean, it does quite have a lot of pageantry.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah. I get
costumes.
It.
Costumes.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I've never watched it, but I did listen to an interview once and somebody like finally like helped me understand why people watch it. It's like, you don't watch wrestling because you think it's real. You watch it for the same reason that you watch like a soap opera or something like
yeah,
which
sure.
which I'm also not into.
Because it's just crazy.
But there, you know it's crazy. There's yeah. going to be a story like you watch
there
it for
are,
that.
There
right?
are ongoing storylines
yeah.
and like, you know, occasionally somebody will do something that is like impressive
yeah.
and you know, putting their body on the line. I don't think it's necessarily it's not real, but it is hard
mm-hmm.
and
right.
unfortunately it kind of destroys a lot of these people's you know minds and bodies
sure.
and lives. Yeah. I don't know if that does that in the church, you know, who knows, but all right much like real pro wrestling matches, the stories told in the ring at church aren't exactly subtle in yeah. a recent match. David Star Killer Birch unleashed some WWE style trash talk, shouting to the crowd, "Is this your savior? You have no god. The Star Killer is now your god."
Oh,
okay.
I think he lost probably that.
Yeah. Sounds like
this
he did
like
not wear that.
VeggieTales wrestling.
Well, look, in wrestling you have heroes and villains. I mean,
yeah.
that's part of.
They have like names for them, don't they? They're not just called heroes and villains. Don't they have
another? Well, a heel would
heel,
be
yeah, the heel
yeah, would
a
be
heel,
the,
yeah.
the villain. Yeah.
Called heels.
Yes.
I'm trying to follow all this. This is a lot. I've never watched wrestling.
You know, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you probably know some wrestlers, right? You know, like Hulk Hogan.
Well, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson,
yeah.
but it's because he got cute.
Yeah.
He got cute? Is
yeah.
he?
Who was
he's
the
cute.
Stretch Armstrong? That was a was that just a doll or was that like based on a real guy?
I think it's just a doll.
I don't know.
I know that one.
All right. Reverend Natasha Thomas says, you know, people may have a certain perception of what church can be, but actually church can mm-hmm. be about anything about worshiping God. That can be having fun, and wrestling is part of that.
Anything about can church be anything?
I think
weigh in.
Reverend Natasha and I are gonna have
anything about worshiping God. You know, not just anything. Anything
okay.
about worship.
I mean, yeah, I think you can use a lot of different venues to worship God. I will give her that.
Yeah.
WWE wrestling would not be the path that I choose, but, you
sure.
know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Feels like a bit of a stretch.
It's a storyline. You can use storylines to tell other stories, right? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Star Killer there. You know, he says, I grew up as a Christian, I grew as a wrestler, and I wanted to bring those two things together.
Love it. Love it for this guy. You know, at one point, people were like, you can't bring trumpets into worship, and we figured out a way to use trumpets in worship. And then somebody's like,
"And we are so glad."
You can't, you know, you can't do rap worship music, and people have figured out how to do rap worship music.
Yeah.
And like, those aren't
sure.
all my style.
The right. guitar was a big thing when
right.
it was first brought into a church.
Right? I don't think that WWE worship is going to like catch on worldwide and be like the way that we all celebrate Christmas in 200 years, but.
I'm going to be honest, if you body slam somebody in the middle of church, I would be paying more attention.
You
know?
Yeah, that's
I would
true.
Be like, okay, what's this guy got to say?
Right. You can't tell us ahead of time, though. You have to just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just go into the crowd, grab a dude, suplex,
yeah.
and then
break the pew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously on the pew. Yeah.
I'd have to like flip off the pew. Be
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or if we settled, you know, church debates for our annual meetings
there you go.
With a cage match.
Yeah.
I'm I'm in. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Like,
cake I will match come around to the it. Altar. Yeah. You can like flip off the altar. And
yeah. Yeah. I will buy concessions. I will contribute to the pastor's discretionary fund. Food All. For thought.
Now there's an option. Yeah.
Who needs a pig roast?
Wrestle the pastor. Yeah, yeah. WWE the pastor for the discretionary fund. Yeah.
This is a good idea.
Can you survive? Right. 2 minutes in the ring. Yeah.
I think I'm good.
You don't think I can take you out?
No. So, two minutes. I think I've got it.
As a pastor, what's going to be your wrestling move here?
I don't know anything about wrestling moves to know what my wrestling move
would
be.
What would it be called?
Are you wearing the dress?
Give us something that's called. Oh, yeah. He's definitely wearing the alb.
Oh, am I wearing the alb?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you have to.
It's about pageantry, right? Like, it's
okay. Well, I think I come out in the alb, but I think the alb comes off before the match starts.
But yeah. Then you have to wear the collar, though, right? Or else you're not. Then you just look like a Chippendale.
No, so
much of them are wearing spandex or, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely like a spandex with a collar. Okay, like, that's the look.
No, it's not the look.
I think if you keep the shawl... What is this?
It's called a stole.
A stole and the little rope around the waist, too.
The cincture?
The cincture.
The cincture.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what's the, what's
I think
the,
a, I think
what's
a,
the move?
I think a sphincter and the sphincter sounds like a good
those are
move.
No, neither of those.
I think that would be...
Your signature.
The signature.
Oh, man. I was going to go for like the body and blood or something like that. Like that. Yeah. All right.
The power of Christ compels you.
I baptize you in the name of my fist.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
Baptize
See,
you.
There you go. There's another wrestler, Nacho Libre.
I believe in science. Okay.
Yeah. You could body slam somebody who's dressed as Charles Darwin or something.
Yeah, right. That'd be fun. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Great ideas. Glad Patrick has had two months off to think about this.
I told you, I'm coming in hot with some new ideas for church.
Ready to go.
All right. So let's talk. So something did happen. A lot of things happened.
Ohio State won the national championship.
Well, I was out. Yeah.
Nobody cares about that one.
And I'm going to tell you,
some
of these things I think happened because they knew I was on paternity leave.
Yeah.
If I was back, they would be like, you know, I would have been like, not on my watch. But they was able to slide through because I was out of commission. And one of those things is a pastor gave a sermon to a newly elected President Donald Trump, and everybody was mad.
Everybody was mad.
Yep.
The whole world.
A lot of people mad about this president, or not, Bishop Booty.
Yeah.
That's a good...
That's a good wrestling name.
Bishop Booty.
for wrestler, I think she's coming in good with that. Yeah. Bishop Booty. She gave a sermon.
Yeah.
People were really mad.
I mean, you were either mad because of what she said or you were mad because of how people reacted.
People backlash,
to what she said.
Yep.
But everybody was mad.
Yep.
Nobody was just like, oh, that was nice.
Indifferent. Mad.
Yeah. So I'm going to be prior to 2 or 3 hours ago.
Okay.
I had no idea what you said.
I knew the last paragraph.
That was the part that made headlines. Yeah,
kind of circulated, right?
I knew gist, you know, what she was saying. Mm-hmm. But I really did not. I did not listen to it. I didn't read it. I kind of read some of the criticisms and then criticisms of the criticisms.
Sure.
And so here we are. And we talked about this beforehand. Like, should we talk about this? It's a couple weeks old. But as of recording yesterday, Tucker Carlson called her a pagan. So it's still,
and the entire Episcopal Church, right?
It's still happening. Yes. People are still angry about her sermon.
Yes. I mean, I'm not, but people are.
Yeah.
Maybe you're angry about the anger.
I'm not even that angry about the anger anymore. I'm just like,
I'm just tired.
Yeah, I am tired. That's true.
So for this, we've all read her sermon.
We have.
Two of us have it printed out.
Okay. I drove 30 minutes to
I
be
conquered.
Here. And nobody pays me.
Also, I printed out for Pastor David.
Yeah.
But I highlighted it on my own.
Nobody printed it out for me.
I didn't highlight a thing. So I think first we want to talk through the sermon. What do we think about her sermon? And then we can kind of get into some of the criticism, some of this backlash. And also, like, you know, she, as a pastor, was in kind of this unique opportunity to preach a sermon to the President of the United States. And I'll probably say that might be the last sermon that president might listen to.
Ever.
During his term. Or maybe ever.
Yeah.
This might be it.
Well, I mean, even as a former president, he'll probably be expected to go to this same thing because all the former presidents were there with him when this happened. So he might be at this thing again in 4 years. But
he's you know, if there's one thing about Donald Trump, you'd say he's pretty keen on the decorum.
Yeah. Very traditional guy.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk through it.
Okay, so first, her text
yeah.
is from Matthew chapter 7. It's mm-hmm. a fairly famous parable of Jesus about people who build, some people, wise people build their house on the rock, and they survive when the rains come. The foolish people build their house on the sand, and everything is washed away when the rains come.
Bad,
that's basically,
bad news bears.
Right. That's basically the sermon. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right, what do we think of the sermon?
Well, I think the first thing, and I will offer this as a preacher myself, all sermons are contextual, right? Mm-hmm. And so this sermon was offered in a very particular context of being an interfaith service for the United States. If this sermon were preached on like a Sunday morning, I'd be like, meh. Like, it's just not, it's not great. Like, it's fine.
Like, doesn't have enough substance.
You know, Patrick and I were talking earlier, right? It's pretty light on Jesus because it's an interfaith service, right?
Right.
It's pretty light on, like, the love of God being for people, right? And there's just elements that I think if we were to hear it on a Sunday morning, we'd be like, that was fine. It's like, there's nothing there that I'm offended by. I think everything right. she says is, yeah. is
pretty
accurate.
Pretty light just, on the text. You know, like, it doesn't really yeah. get into any of the text.
It's
you know.
Not a great, hard-hitting, powerful sermon that I'm like, oh, I'm going to read that again and again to, like, you know, inspire my faith. Right? It's right. it's just not that.
Yeah.
From a sermon perspective, from one preacher to another, it's just not that.
Yeah. Elise, what do you think? What are your thoughts here?
I think, like, the context is really important, though, because
yeah, absolutely.
If you're sitting in the Lutheran church on Sunday morning, you're not mm-hmm. expecting to hear something that is quite this encompassing, right? And we try to be very inclusive in our faith,
sure.
and I think we do a good job of it, but it's not quite to this level, right?
Yeah.
However, if you are watching this on TV at home, or
absolutely.
You know, then this is very encompassing, and it's an opportunity, I think, to, like, give an inspirational kind of biblically grounded message to the entire country. I think it was great. In a bang up speech.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's what people are mad about. I mean, again, like,
yeah.
I don't really see what in here is all that anger inducing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you find yourself like, I'm an incredibly biblically and socially conservative person, I don't think anything in there is all that objectionary.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing about it, I think why it is kind of, in a way, is sort of a genius speech, I think, is because the reactions that people have had to it says a lot more about them than it does about
oh, sure.
her and her yeah. words, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's the, like, it was very, very low key and very subtle and induced these huge reactions in people.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is hard to do. Like,
I think that's, like, that's probably the most amazing part of right. the sermon, in that in reality, she gives a sermon and Donald Trump doesn't tweet out how awful it was.
Yeah.
I bet it means nothing.
Like, nothing
it just
right.
goes yep. away completely.
Absolutely.
I don't think this is something people are printing out and making, like, art of or anything like that.
Unless he says something.
Unless he says something.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
like, it's truly a Streisand effect thing. You know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're a listener, somebody took a photo of, like, a coast of California.
For, like, coastal erosion research.
Yeah. It included Barbara Streisand's home, like, kind of, like, in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally, but it included it. And she made a big stink about how this photo of her house was in this erosion research
yeah.
thing. Mm-hmm. And then it became, like, a massive thing that would have been nothing
yeah.
had right. she not brought attention to it.
Yep.
Right.
You know, but then it became a thing.
Yep.
So,
right.
so, again, I think his tweeting about it, all of a sudden it became a thing. I bet more people read or listened or engaged with it if he did it, like, because of that.
Yes.
Right, for sure. But I do think that there's this element of, like, to be able to say, like, nothing objectionable and only say kind things and to make everybody angry about it, it's almost like a superpower, right? Like, that's like, wow, you really got a response from people. Like, your speech writing is working, you know, at that point. And not that yeah. anger is the end goal, but to somehow be able to touch on something for that many people while still towing that line
yeah.
of well, saying literally just, we should love people and unity is good. Like,
and I do think that's the power of of good gospel preaching, right? Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I'll use that as a Christian preacher, right? Like when you speak gospel, the words of what we associate as the words of truth and good news of Jesus, Luther would say the gospel convicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted, mm-hmm. right? So you don't have to be divisive and inflammatory in order to convict people. You just preach the gospel, and that's
which seems like is what happens.
That's convicting, right? And you know, you preach mercy, you preach love and compassion, you preach acceptance of others, and that inflames people because for whatever reason it touches something that they're uncomfortable with, and and you leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit. And that's the hardest part of preaching, in my personal opinion, is leaving it up to the Holy Spirit and not trying to do the Holy Spirit's work for it, her, him, it, they, for they.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. So, first thing, it's kind of short.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, it's when I first printed it out, it was 3 pages, and I expanded the font size, mm-hmm. and it became just over 4.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that long.
Yeah. She didn't have a lot of time to work.
It's probably
with,
less
than
my standard Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to it, it's probably like 10-ish minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Starts up, open about talking about unity. Hey, unity is a good thing. We want to bring together people. And the idea sometimes is that unity is going to look a lot different, especially in a polarized society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not going to look like we all agree about politics, but we still sort of striving towards unity with one another. All right. This is kind of our opening sentiment is about unity. And then I like this, you know, at times unity is sacrificial, the way mm-hmm. the love is sacrificial. Like giving ourselves to one another is an act of unity. And I think that this is, okay, again, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's totally fine, you know. Yeah, and then in a country like ours or in the world, it's also aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to recognize that we might not get there,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to try our best to get there. All right, and then kind of, and I see you have this highlighted, and this is something I liked as
sure,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
This idea that if we're praying mm-hmm. for unity, but we are not acting in a unifying manner, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting thought. You know, this for me probably would be like, this is the first really interesting thought. I think she, again, this is a sermon. Let's go deeper. Let's get more here. And I think she kind of doesn't give as much as she could have, and that's okay. You know, again, it's 10 minutes long.
She's hitting all the high points.
Yeah,
right?
You know, like she's, you know, she's getting it. You know, here it is. Yeah. I think there's more here, but you know, but I think that this is really interesting. Yeah. What do you think about this section? Like, I'll read this part.
Yeah.
Our scripture is quite clear that God is never impressed with prayers when actions are not informed by them, nor does God spare us from the consequences of our deeds, which in the end matter more than the words we pray.
Yeah, I mean, this for me is a reminder that she's Episcopalian and not Lutheran, right? Because it leans works righteousness, which for Lutherans is a big no-no, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we're always saved by grace and works are not the thing that God looks for in us. But I do understand where she's coming from, right? That it's faith without works is dead, right? If you're not living into the things that you're praying for, and bringing those things about in your own life, then what are you doing, right? If I'm praying for people to be fed and I'm not feeding anybody, what am I doing, right?
Yeah, I was wondering if this was a subtle nod to the whole, like, thoughts and prayers disaster response
probably.
Thing. You know, I think probably she's very, like, gently skimming on that. So I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, definitely, if we're looking at a scriptural reference for me, it's like, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Sure.
You know, like, mm-hmm. I think that would be kind of where.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I do not delight in sacrifice. You mm-hmm. know, like, you're bringing it, your sacrifices, but I don't care. Like, you know, God is saying that to the Israelites several times. I think, this is, I think, good, you know, for sometimes one of our political parties, I think, does, like, work to kind of, like, try to, like, give the perception that it's aligned with kind of Christian mm-hmm. ideals, our values, and saying, like, if you're going to, I think, you know, again, if you were going to be antagonistic, this would be a chance to say, like, if you're going to try and say those things, you need to follow through with them, right?
Yeah.
And not just the ones you like, but all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, she doesn't. And I don't think she, you know.
Well, Well, it's because unity is their shtick, not antagonism,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's hard to open with unity and be like, and by the way,
right. Let me tell you. Y'all suck.
Let me tell you. Yeah, but I think that, you know, could be perceived, I guess, if it's there.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts, you know, kind of as we're kind of hearing kind of the first third of her sermon?
No, I think that's kind of where she lays it out. I think the meat for me comes in the latter half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting for me to have this conversation with you two who give sermons sometimes, because I have not thought of it in the same way that I think the two of you have. To me, I'm like, if this was a book, this is a bestseller, right? Like, she nailed it on the speech writing for like everybody in the U.S. to know the contents of the sermon and know what you're talking about is unheard of for a sermon, right?
Sure.
What else do we have? One of Martin Luther King Jr.'s probably that most people could say, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, pull a quote from, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, like, this is pretty sensational, I think, for that.
Yeah, but I think, again, like, it's probably the fervor around it than the actual context itself.
Right, but I don't think that is all just because a president tweeted about it, you know? Like, I mean,
at this point, we'll never know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say, but, like, it created a moment in time somehow. So
sure.
It's
absolutely
pretty well done.
No argument. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going with the context. All right, next section. All right, foundations of unity. This is where, all right, we established where unity is the goal. We can't just talk about it. We got to try for it, you know, and now the foundations. What are the things? So first foundation for her. Inherit dignity in all human beings.
That's the first place where I'm like, yeah, people are going to be angry about that.
I know. Doesn't that like...
And it's not because I'm... Right, to be clear. It's not because I'm like, if I'm reading this from the perspective of someone who is looking for things to be angry about,
yeah,
you're telling me that everybody has dignity and I'm calling it out. Like, and I think it's ridiculous, but I think that's an argument that people like... Some people don't deserve dignity. Some people don't have that.
This is definitely one of like, if you...
If you're looking for it.
I will be antagonistic here. If you call yourself a Christian and you think this is wrong, I think you're reading the wrong Bible.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. But I think
you may not know who Jesus is. Like, this would be like, I'm not sure you're getting what the gospel is about.
Yeah.
And the gospel in a general sense, you know, like the gospels are about, like, if you think humanity does not have inherent dignity.
Yeah.
There's a big problem.
I mean, to be clear, so I have two colors in my highlighting, and one color is the stuff that I like, and the other color is the stuff that I'm like, oh, people could be angry about that. And this is both, right? This is a section that I really like and appreciate, but also, I'm like, yeah, people could be angry about that because people are
people.
People are people.
People are
that's
people.
A nice way to say it. People are people. Yeah,
that's all I could come up with.
And I'll also say, probably in my circles, the people who I follow, who I read about with the most challenges, would be in more Christian circles. The Christianity subreddit or Christianity Today or Relevant. I follow them on Facebook, and sometimes I look at the comments, and they're very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You're brave. So,
sometimes even fight in the comments, but okay. So for me, in Christendom, this really should not be a thing.
I
don't know why Christians would be on an issue with this. Maybe if you are a secular, you know, an atheistic American, maybe you could have a problem with this.
Yeah.
I don't get why Christians would.
Yeah, no, yeah. The thing is, I think most, like, atheistic people are humanists, right? And so, like, the dignity of all human beings is kind of their shtick, too. Like,
I guess.
Seems like one everybody should be able to get behind.
Right.
You know, again, one of President Trump's biggest campaign talking points was about immigration.
Yep.
And it's hard to hold firm inherent dignity of every human being and some measures taken by this administration on what it means to deport the undocumented.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
even just the rhetoric, I mean, because to be clear, you know, the Biden administration had a pretty terrible record on immigration as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the rhetoric around it and the way that it has been spoken of by the Trump campaign, I think, is where we lose the dignity of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. President Biden, President Obama, they deported a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people. But it wasn't quite the demonization or the anger associated with it.
Yes.
Yeah. To think like the Democrats want open borders. Again, President Biden and President Obama deported quite a lot of people.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot. All right. Second foundation of unity. Honesty in both private conversation and public discourse.
Yeah. I thought this was pretty, like, I think she's right. I think, but I was like, I don't think either side's going to argue with that. They're just going to argue about what honesty is, right? So it's not that they're going to say, I should lie. They're just going to say, like, you're lying, right? Like, right. I'm being honest, even though I'm...
Yeah.
This is actually the only part of this that I felt like might be just a little bit targeted.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed it. I was like, look at that. Yeah. Get it in, girl.
Yeah, and I think kind of this one, along with her next point about humility, I mean, she does kind of get into, like, the idea of, like, if you're thinking, you know, I'm always right and they're always wrong, you're probably not landing on this. Because her next point is about humility.
Yep.
That's the third foundation. So, So, third foundation is dignity of human beings, honesty, humility.
It's sure.
You know, like, again, I don't think this is, like...
It shouldn't be alarming.
Yeah, this is totally fine. It's not like... For me, it's not like, wow, I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
You know, but like, it's like, okay, yeah, I agree. This is kind of the middle part of her sermon, and she'll kind of get, she's wrapping it up, by the way, at this point. So any other thoughts here on this middle section?
No, I think this is where, you know, my preacher brain versus my hearing it from Elise's perspective brain, you know, I want her to speak more to the foundations in relationship to the text that she referenced initially with the foundations being like the thing on which we build the house. Like, I want more of that because that's just the sermon mind that I have. But I think what she has said, those are three very reasonable foundations on which you could build this metaphorical house of unity. I think that's fine. And I think it's a place that she could have done more with. What's interesting to me is that she doesn't really do more with it. She kind of drops that and then goes into this final plea. And the final plea is where we're going to really,
that's the thing that really made the rounds. Yeah.
Catch fire, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah. So her conclusion is targeted.
Yes.
The intro, the middle have been more kind of to the general audience, a general sermon, and now the conclusion is targeted. And again, it's not long. If you were to listen to it, it might be a minute.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing where she addresses Mr. President directly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, to sum it up, we're asking for mercy. That there are people who are afraid, people who are scared, and you have an opportunity to give mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what her sermon is.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, for, and she'll highlight these, gay, lesbian, and transgender children.
Mm-hmm.
And.
In Democratic, Republican, and independent families, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep. And the undocumented. Those are kind of the two that she makes a special concession for, like, these are the people. Show mercy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then people got really mad.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this, right? And I think one of the things that's a little bit now I've had time to like read it over and over and like sit with it. The transition from where she was with this plea for unity or this call for unity and building to this, let me make one final plea. Like they almost stand separate from one another.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel to me like the argument that she makes around building a foundation of unity leads us to this plea. I think the plea is great. I think the plea needed to be said. I'm glad that she said it.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like she built to this, right? It was like, here's the sermon. Now I've still got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to throw this really important thing at the end. They feel disjointed.
It's a hard pivot. Yeah, I agree.
And I think because it felt so disjointed, I think that left some room for the criticism to come in because it doesn't feel connected to the call for unity beforehand. And so people were like, oh, well, that's just partisan, blah, 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 right? And she, and I think for me, all that is outlandish and missing the point of what is being said. But I think that's where, if I'm looking for like a hole, I think that's where it is. It's in that transition from one to the other.
I would agree. I think her first two-thirds or three-fourths, or however you want to classify it, of the sermon is building towards one thing, and then the ending is different.
Yeah.
And I think she could have built towards this ending with more of a sermon based around God's mercy for us.
Yeah.
And what does that look like for others?
You
know, like,
yep.
And then that's a very natural transition. But, you know, this is what she did. And again, this is part of why I would say, like, it's fine. You know, I think it's a fine sermon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we all three are coming on different levels here, and that's okay. But this ending is probably what people have the most aggressive.
Yeah. This is what people are quoting on the social medias.
I do wonder if she was specifically asked to give a sermon on unity. You know,
maybe.
Like we don't actually know what the assignment was at all.
I get I guarantee she was not asked to give a or make a plea for mercy.
Mm-mm. No, I think so, she ad-libbed that one a little bit.
Well, I mean, I would say I don't think she did it without anyone knowing that she was going to right. do it. I don't think she made it up on the spot.
No, I think planned, it was planned, yeah, but very I don't think scripted. That it yeah. was yeah. Cleared.
So some of the attacks, I'll get into some of the attacks and we can kind of address these.
Oh,
if that's okay. If that's right?
Yeah.
Right.
Sure, why not? Attack away.
Right.
All right. So the first one.
Uh-huh.
She got on her soapbox and lectured Donald Trump.
Mm.
Is that, I mean, are you supposed to be immune from having people criticize you when you're the most powerful person in the free world? Is yes. that what?
Okay. Well, for some people, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Well, for
like, are you
for
a,
my side?
Are you a baby or a child? Like.
Well, and I think this, to me, gets to one of the problems that we are starting to encounter in the last 2.5 weeks now at this presidency, is that there seems to be an elevation of the executive branch to the point of it being treated like a king,
mm-hmm.
Which was not how America was founded, right? And, you know, I think many people will deny that that's what's happening, but you look at how power is being consolidated within a single branch. And so now you have someone speaking out on behalf of those who that branch is not paying attention to, and it's immediately seen as a threat. Right?
Yeah.
It's not seen as anything other than a politically motivated threat. And that, to me, is a sign of monarchy and all this other, right? It's not a sign of democracy.
100%. I also don't really think she's doing that. Like, yeah. In my mind, I just don't really see that that's the, let me wag my finger at President Trump, like, I'm the teacher and you're the student.
Yeah.
And that's an analogy that I heard that people use. She doesn't attack his past,
nope.
which is checkered. You know, like, she does not call into question his morality
Mm-mm.
or his yep. ethical guidelines or any of those things that I think are more than public knowledge at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, she's really saying, like, as you enact policies, have mercy on those that will be hit by your policies. And, or, you know, I think a reasonable person would walk away being like, yeah, the king, our president,
yeah.
they're going to do things and the people below them will suffer.
Yeah.
And I think good kings and good presidents will do good things and people below them will suffer.
Yep, sure.
Like that's just a reality of the world yep. we live in. Just like a general says, this group of army men have to go over there to fight for this hill and many of them will die, but for the greater good,
yep.
it's going to work out for us.
Yep.
And that's a hard thing to do. Just like mm-hmm. there are policies that might hurt some segments, but I think for the greater good of America, it's what we have to do. But it's just, I think the reality of, like, think through what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not even saying do not send undocumented people back to their home countries.
Right.
No. Like, it's not even it's nearly also, that strong.
If yeah. you if you listen to a recording of her speaking, she's not angry.
No.
When she's like, I mean, right, I mean, I listen to Fire Brimstone preaching clips, you know, and you can hear, like, the like, you could read it like that, right? You
yeah.
could, let me make one final plea, Mr. President, right? Like, you right. could read it like that, but she's extremely calm.
Right.
Extremely yeah. measured. You know, millions have put their trust in you, right? That's it's not an enraging delivery by all means. And so it has to be the content of what is said. And what is said is showing mercy to particular groups of people that we don't want to show mercy to, right?
Correct.
If this sermon was, you know, President Trump, show mercy to the middle class families who are struggling with jobs being sent overseas to China and help, you know,
with inflation.
Yeah. Help egg farmers who are dealing with rising prices or whatever other, right? He's not angry about this.
Correct.
Right.
We're angry about this because we're being asked to show mercy to people we don't think deserve mercy.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to the original, right, to people we don't think are worthy of having their dignity recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one criticism I heard. You know, the other one I thought that I've heard was, like, she's just asking people to embrace LGBTQ lifestyle.
Mm. Yeah. Mr. President, be gay.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. or like, what she said.
Yeah. Again, she doesn't say anything about the LGBTQ people except that they exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and show mercy. Like,
right. Yeah. It's just like, an acknowledgement of existence.
So yeah. You know, I think, again, the most conservative, she's not saying, like, it's not a sin to be gay, which we would agree with.
Yeah.
That's not what she's saying. That's not what she's saying. Like, right. that's not what she's trying to get through here, or that's not it.
Yeah. Mercy does. Let me say this clearly. Asking for mercy does not imply that something is okay. Right. In fact, having to ask for mercy implies a recognition that perhaps it's not okay, because you don't have to ask for mercy for things that are okay.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't ask for mercy if I legally go to the store and buy food and come home. I ask for mercy because I steal something. Right. Mm. And so there's almost an element of this that you could say, like, she's implying that something's not okay by asking for mercy for it. I understand what she's doing.
Yeah.
But there is that element to it, too. Like, yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Like, if you wanted to push back against an argument yeah. that said that she's telling everybody to embrace the in lifestyle,
exactly.
In quotes, lifestyle of LGBTQIA
yeah.
identities, then you could say, well, she's asking for mercy for these right. people, which if you're going to make an argument one way or another,
yeah.
you would logically probably say that she's not condoning it.
Right.
Even though she's not trying to do that
right.
one
she's
way
not.
Or the other
exactly.
at all. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are probably the two biggest criticisms that I've heard. Any others that you've got that you want to kind of...
I saw one that baffled me that was like, well, if she had this opinion, she should have said this to President Trump in private. And I was like, are they hanging out? Like, yeah. are they, like, buddies? Like, I have some opinions about President Trump. Should I get an audience with
yeah. him? Can we get some one-on-one time?
Look, right, like, booty in the Trump. I'm for it.
Right.
Coming this fall to NBC.
You want that sitcom?
Yeah.
Yeah. President Trump's booty time.
I unfortunately think that's probably already,
right.
at least has been a thing.
Right.
He's
right.
quite old now.
He paid for it to go away.
Fair enough. With this... This is not a criticism. Are we ready? Can I talk about the next thing?
Yep.
What's the okay. next thing?
Well, I think this it brings up a broader question for me of how are we as faithful Christians supposed to tell truth to power, and or how are we supposed to tell truth at all? That, like, to me is the ultimate question, right? Regardless of what happens with her sermon, regardless of how President Trump felt about it or didn't feel about it, regardless of what Tucker Carlson calls Episcopalians, right? How are we actually supposed to carry out our faith and speak truth to power? That's because I think we have one example here of how we can do it. And I think it's a really powerful example, a really, really meaningful one, that clearly created a lot of ire. And then in the wake of this, we've seen all this other stuff come out. One of these things has been, I'll call it an attack on Lutheran social services mm-hmm. throughout America, being accused of being a money laundering organization by General Flynn and Elon Musk's Doge group, which is, I think, the dumbest acronym in the world. Anyway, mm-hmm. So, you know, we have these responses coming out, and this is something that I've been watching my colleagues respond to this, because we're all Lutherans, right? So we're all, like, very sensitive to them attacking LSS. And you have those who are attacking or are, like, fighting back, right? Fighting fire with fire and, like, coming back in rage. And you have those who are trying to provide, like, measured responses of here's the actual facts. Here's mm-hmm. Here's what's true. And neither one of them I know or I feel like are really moving the needle. But I'm just curious, like, I feel like this is going to keep happening, right? This is 2.5 weeks into 4 years of our lives. So how are we as Christians going to find ways to respond with truth that are faithful, that are meaningful, and hopefully actually have some impact, I guess, is the broader question that I would open for discussion.
Are we supposed to know?
I mean, I would take your input. I don't know that we have yeah. to have a clear path of, like, this is what you do. But...
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to the Bible. Yeah.
But fine. Nerd.
I got three ways that people did this in the Bible that I thought of.
Are these three foundations on which we should build this house?
Yes.
Okay.
So one, in the Old Testament, there are kings. There's kind of two positions in the Old Testament Israel. One is king, one is prophet.
Yeah.
And those two worked in tandem, ideally, to govern and work with the people. So
yes.
The king, you know, is the legislation, and the prophet is the religious, and they're going to get together, and the prophet is there to hold the king accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that happen early on a couple times. And, yep. and so the prophet Nathan, the prophet Isaiah, these are people who are working directly within political systems.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And directly are, and the Samuel,
yep.
to Saul,
mm-hmm.
Directly within political systems. So, so if you are a Christian who has the ear of mm-hmm. those who are most powerful within our society, are and that might be not just people in Washington. It could be mayors and mm-hmm. you know, comptrollers, whatever, even the, whatever they do.
What is a comptroller?
Nobody
do?
Knows.
Okay, all right. So, it's a mystery.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a typo.
Yeah, like, and they just kept it. Like sure.
Is this supposed to say controller?
Yeah. Yeah, but with computers.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Yeah. Okay, he controls the computer.
Yeah, all got right, it. I'm in.
Yeah. If you have their ear directly, I think there's something you should do, right?
Like, yeah.
And so not all prophets got that benefit. The prophet Jeremiah kind of historically was outside of the political system and kind of kicked out of the, you know, and was beaten, you know, out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But the king kept listening to him.
The like king, the, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, they lived in a different world than we sure. do. I mean, so we kind of have that. So some navigate the political system to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have John the Baptist.
Mm.
All right. And he calls out the Herod
mm-hmm.
directly.
Ruler of the area. Yep.
Ruler of the area. Like, what you're doing is wrong. What Herod did was, to my knowledge, or how I remember, basically...
married his brother's wife.
Married his brother's wife.
Yeah.
Seems pretty tame with everything else going on.
And
just
then,
saying.
Like, his niece was also kind of into her.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
It got weird.
It's kind
yeah.
of messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of Game of Thronesy. Yeah. He calls it out directly from mm-hmm. his position. He does mm-hmm. not have an audience with Herod, but he is loudly saying, this is wrong.
On the banks of the River Jordan.
On yep. the banks of the River Jordan. Yeah. He is loudly screaming it out. This is wrong. This is wrong. This for me, you know, Christians who are loudly from their platforms screaming out, this is wrong, even if they have no audience with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is Jesus, and he doesn't talk a bit of those people at all. And in fact, when he even has an audience with Pontius Pilate, he goes quiet.
Yeah.
And he just goes and serves the poor and serves the lame. And when it comes to like the religious authorities or the government or the Roman authorities, he's not really all that. He'll attack them directly when they talk to him, but he's not as interested in yeah. those kinds of relationships.
Yeah.
So those are the three that I came up with from the Bible.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you think one is right? Or do you
have
or
to
do you
default
need all three?
To Jesus because anything else is like,
it's
well,
hard
I
to
can't.
Say Jesus is wrong.
Right. Like, I'm going to go with that one.
I think if you have a platform and you look at what's happening, if you're like, I have a platform that's all about, that I want to extol the dignity of humanity and what I see in government right now is happening, maybe now's the time you have to cash in your chips.
Yeah.
And I would say like that might be either if you're John the Baptist or if you're Isaiah, now's the time you may have to cash in your chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ball might get rolling further and it might be too late.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it will. And I pray that it's not, but
yeah.
this might be the time. Like,
I also think it's worth, you know, I think you see in Jesus, the prophet and John the Baptist in elements of his preaching, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, for sure. Jesus is not silent, but
right.
he's just not.
There are different ways that he goes, but there are elements of that prophet and elements of it. And so I think that you can still turn to Jesus and say Jesus was right, right? And recognize that there's a place and a time for the others as well. And
yeah.
I think that's the part for me that comes back so meaningfully is that non-action and or silence doesn't seem to be a biblical option, right? Like even when Jesus is silent before Pilate, he's not responding to Pilate's question when he is being accused himself. He doesn't stop defending the poor, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't stop praying for
yes.
his enemies, right? He's on the cross and he asks God to forgive them, right? Like that action
for
still...
For mercy? Right. Interesting.
What? Right, like that action matters. And you know, Jesus cares for the poor, that matters. Jesus speaks on behalf of others, that matters. And mm-hmm. I think that inaction now matters, right?
Yeah.
I think any response, whether you're calling a senator, whether you're showing up to your church and worshiping, whether you're going to a soup kitchen and feeding someone, whether you're inviting a gay couple from down the street into your home to like know that you care for them and that they're safe in your community, like whatever it is, some action matters because what we are seeing is the dignity of humanity being attacked. And you can come at me and say that that's not what's happening, but that's what I'm watching. I'm watching the dignity of humans being attacked, and that's not okay. And as people of faith who follow a God who says all people are beloved and all people are worthy of love and compassion,
yeah,
we have to be able to stand against that. We have to be able to say, if nothing else, everybody has dignity and is worthy of being treated with dignity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you're walking away, you know, from this sermon or this administration, you think the role of a Christian in society is to cheer on the rich and powerful.
Yikes.
I just don't think, and again, whether that is this president or the previous one,
yeah.
if you're like, that's the role of Christian society is to cheer on mm-hmm. those with the most power and influence as they're enacting their vision for the world.
Yep.
That is not what any of those options are.
Right.
Yep.
And so if you don't have a platform, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, I think defaulting to serving the least of these
mm-hmm.
is obviously biblical.
Yeah.
And even if you vote R or vote D, there's unity in that.
Or G or I or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Or didn't vote at all.
Yeah.
There's unity in that. And yeah. so there you go.
Yeah. It's interesting times that we live in, friends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting times.
It should also be noted that John the Baptist, when his actions against Herod ultimately cost him his life.
True.
So.
Yep.
Though really it cost him his life because he made Herod's wife angry. She's the one who ultimately got him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. A little extra Game of Thrones action for you. Also, just to be clear, like recognizing someone's dignity does not mean that you have to condone what they do, right? Like sure. I can recognize that a criminal has dignity and I don't think that they should have
crimes.
Done crimes, right? Right.
Sure.
You heard it here first. We're anti-crime, everybody.
Well, we are. Well, but like that's the, like,
yeah, sure.
I don't, it, dignity does not mean that I think everybody should be allowed to illegally cross the border, right?
Right.
Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, and that's not the same thing.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't understand immigration policy. I want to, but what I know is that all people are worthy of dignity. That's what I know.
Taking a page from Bishop Booty, humility is part of that. Like, it's bigger than me. And bigger than one person to kind of get.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All right. Well, anyway. We can keep going, but
I
think this is
good. It's been a full episode.
Yeah.
We got to save some for next week. We can't get it all out in the first week.
Right.
We got to do another episode again.
4 years.
Back in the rotation. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, we are glad that you stuck with us through the long drought of pre-recorded episodes. And we're glad that you're, I don't know, some people were commenting that they...
that they were bad?
Not that they were bad, just that they noticed that they were like, when are you guys recording like a real one again?
Oh.
Yeah, I get it. It was a long time.
Sure.
Oh, we have people who comment?
We do, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they don't send us emails, but they do send comments. They find me.
Well, we're back, everybody.
We are back. So if you liked this, you can find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And of course, you can send us your thoughts at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.